We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How'd you pick Dancing in the Moonlight? Not your typical go-to song. Where did you get this and what is the rationale?
Just happened to pop up on a music playlist I was listening to at the gym today. No joke. And I'm like, damn, I haven't heard this song in forever. Mm. And I love this song.
Not really a gym song. Doesn't seem like a it's in not, the mood to, yeah.
I just had my iPod or whatever, my phone on shuffle today. And this song popped up. And I'm like, this song's a banger.
Look at you. If you thought today's show was going to be depressing because the Panthers got their asses kicked, nope, not how we do it here.
Hey, Hawk, series doesn't start until a road team wins a game.
Right on. Crowder and I will be at FLA Live Arena on Thursday, ready to root our Panthers on to that first victory of this Stanley Cup final series. He'll be in action tomorrow. Line has seemingly settled in at 2.5 for the Heat. I'll take a look right now just to make sure it hasn't changed, because it fluctuated to 2 yesterday during the show. It was Heat plus 2, but it's been 2.5 most of the day and since the other game ended, and it is 2.5. So Heat, 2.5-point underdogs tomorrow night in Miami, hosting the Nuggets. See if it's a real chess match. You saw Eric Spoelstra had a couple days, figured it out. Now, does Michael Malone, now we know his default was that the energy was low. It didn't seem like he had any problem with his actual game plan. He seemed to have a problem with the effort level of his players, but they've got a few days now, and tomorrow night we'll see what he's got up his sleeve.
What would it take for the Heat to be favorites in Game 4? Would it be like a convincing Game 3 win? They win by 20? Or is that just not going to happen?
I just don't think it's going to happen, because the rationale is, even though the Heat won Game 2 and now they're on their home court and they're still underdogs, I believe the rationale is going to be the same that it was during the Boston series, which is, well, they'll get the next game, meaning Denver. They'll get the next one. They're not going to lose. They're too good. They're not going to lose 2 in a row. And I don't think there is a scenario in this series that the Heat are ever favorites, because I don't think it matters what happens tomorrow night. I do not think they'll be favorites. When do they play after that? Friday?
Yeah,
Friday. I do not think they'll be favorites on Friday. And if they were to win on Friday, they'd be up 3-1. If they win tomorrow on Friday, they'd be up 3-1. You go back to Denver. Denver would be favorites, right?
For sure. I can't see a scenario where Jokic is healthy and the Heat are favorites in Denver. But, man, yep. If they come out, Hawk, in Game 3, they shoot above 50% again or somewhere around it. Jimmy looks a little bit more comfortable knocking down his jumpers, and they win convincingly, like how they did against Boston in Game 3 at home, how they did against Milwaukee in Game 3 at home. I could see it. Miami, favorite at home, at least pick them on Friday.
I just don't think it's going to happen. I just don't think it's going to happen. The Panthers are favorites tomorrow night, Thursday night, I believe, at home, even though they're down 0-2. Panthers are minus 120 favorites Thursday Vegas plus 100.
It's a 305.
Dale.
Dale.
Dale. God bless. Dale.
Dale.
Thank you, Jimmy.
You're welcome. I got nothing, and you'll like it, too.
.305 alarm on Hockman and Crowder, presented by All Year Cooling. Keep your cool and call All Year, 833 All Year. Today is a Ticket Wizard Tuesday on Hockman and Crowder. Traffic tickets happen to everyone. Don't let it ruin your day. Go to ticketwizard.com and stop worrying about it. 5 minutes could save you more than $500 on your next ticket. Here are headlines for the 3 o'clock hour with Alejandro Solana.
Jimmy, a little defeated after a 7-2 loss yesterday, right?
Listen, it was hard. It was hard to be upbeat after that game last night. It was.
who would be upbeat after that?
Well, Vegas fans.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm saying except for them, of course.
Well, you didn't say that though.
Well,
that
that's that I did. I didn't.
Unless,
say that.
Yeah, you didn't. No, you didn't.
Unless you're the Vegas fan who got stiff-armed by Samantha Rivera on CBS4 last night.
How about that? Clay Ferrero, game one. Samantha Rivera, game two. I mean, these VGK fans don't mess with South Florida media members.
These local telecasters putting up more of a fight than the Cats up in Vegas.
We don't wait until SVN sends Donovan Campbell out there.
Bro, you get near Donovan Campbell's shoes, that man will throw
it
down.
Forget about it.
Don't do that to me.
And don't do it to Jimmy either. He loves his shoes.
Yeah. Let him know, Jimmy. These headlines are driven by the new Palmetto Ford Truck Supercenter. Why buy your truck at a car store? Palmetto Ford, we know trucks. Hawk, I texted you last night. Verhage, and Appel mentioned it in the last hour. Verhage had a one-on-one with Aiden Hill. And it was an easy save for Aiden Hill. He guessed right, and you know, Verhage didn't end up scoring. I texted you, game's over after that. Like, that to me was when this game was flipped on its head, because you have that opportunity one-on-one early in the first period to make that kind of mark, and you don't even come close to scoring on a one-on-one. Like, I thought, that's it, man. This game's donezo.
I was a little jealous, because that's what we've seen from Sergei Bobrovsky during the postseason, right? It didn't matter what was coming at him. He was in one of those zones, and we have caught Aiden Hill in that zone. And so when it's your guy and you love the fact that a breakaway's coming because you know your guy is going to save it, it's such a great feeling. And I felt it too. I was like, oh my goodness. Now, I will tell you, if you remember, I had a parlay. I had the Heat the night before, plus 9. They won outright. And then I had the Panthers, Golden Knights, over 5.5 last night was the second leg of the parlay. I did need goals. And when he made that save, I said to myself, I'm done. Because Aiden Hill is untouchable. He is a brick wall right now. And Bobrovsky's been so good, too. I'm like, I really thought, I'm done. There's no way that they're going over 5.5. Little did I know, Vegas themselves would go over 5.5. But, yeah, I really thought I was done at that point, because I was like, oh, my goodness. If that's not getting past him, forget about it.
Any part of you, though, like in that third period where Vegas – because really they were up 4-2, right? And then they kind of just – whatever, they scored 3 goals or whatever – like, any part of you just not care about those last 3 goals? The idea that they lost 7-2, to me, I kind of don't buy it. Like, they lost, they were down 4-0, and then they made it 4-1, and they kind of had some life, and then the game was over after that. But, like, the officials just ejecting everybody, the 10-minute major on Tkachuk was bogus, bro. Bogus.
There was a lot of, I thought, bad officiating. I think Appel said it best. You didn't lose that game 7-2 because of officiating, but they were calling penalties in a Stanley Cup Finals series that don't get called as 10-minute misconducts. Like, it was really weird. Like, I understand wanting to take control of a game. It's another thing to make yourself more important than the game, which is what I thought the officials were doing. I get it. You're on national TV. You don't want to lose control. You don't want it to get ugly. I'm all about that. But Kachuk hit on Eichel was Eichel's fault. I mean, he toe planted. Like, that was Eichel's fault. Now, I understand in the speed of everything happening, it's hard to determine that. We had the luxury of watching it on replay. Yeah, I mean, whether they lose 4-2 or 7-2, does it really matter? I mean, it doesn't in the grand scheme of things. But when it's all said and done, to lose 7-2 in hockey, that's an ass-kicking.
Yeah.
And now you've got to think about that ass-kicking for a couple of nights. So, yeah, it's a bummer. You know, still one loss, so they're down 0-2.
The Heat will play Game 3 of the NBA Finals tomorrow at the Kaseya Center. Coach Spo said Tyler Hero has not been cleared yet for a return. He's going to go through a workout today. Doesn't mean he's officially out tomorrow, but also doesn't sound very likely that he'll play tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
You see the story from Adrian Wojnarowski that Spo could command up to $20 million per year on his contract next year?
Wow. I did not see the story. It makes sense because how much did Monty Williams get?
Well, that's exactly what Woj was alluding to. 6 year, $78 million for Monty Williams to go coach the Pistons. And Woj said, quote, going to significantly impact head coaching landscapes for high-level coaches such as Coach Spo and Steve Kerr. He said both of those coaches have 1 year left next season on their deals. They're both in the $8 million annual range right now. And then he said both coaches, when you talk to owners and executives around the league, if they were on the open market, might be able to get what Sean Payton, new Broncos head coach, got in the neighborhood of $20 million per year.
Yeah, if I'm an NBA team and I know that Eric Spoelstra would be looking for offers, I would go 5 years, $100 million. You're a $100 million head coach. That's 20 mil a season. I would give that.
And, Hawk, let's be real. Coach Spo could say, I want to go run everything somewhere, right? I'm not suggesting that that's on his mind. I'm just saying, If he told an NBA team right now, I want to run everything. I want to be the total guy in charge. I don't want to have anybody ahead of me making decisions. There's teams in the NBA who would say, come right over.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he can write his own ticket. I have a feeling that he loves the Heat organization, And I have a feeling that it's mutual or museal. And so I think they'll probably they'll give him whatever he wants. I don't imagine if he stays with the Heat that he would want to control everything. I think he probably likes the hierarchy right now.
Could you see, though, if the Heat were to win an NBA championship, Tobin and I were having this discussion earlier. If the Heat were to win the NBA title this year, right? Let's just say they get it done. Pat Riley could sail off into the sunset, right? Sails off on a high note, wins another title without LeBron. He gets it done. He retires. Could you see Spo leaving the sidelines, taking over that role for Pat Riley as the team's executive? And, you know, Chris Quinn or Caron Butler, one of the assistants.
McAdoo.
Bob McAdoo, of course. Keith Askins, taking over the sideline. Could you see that?
No. Okay. It makes sense when you lay it out. I just don't see it happening. But I might be wrong.
Yeah.
Brad Stevens did it in Boston, right?
Yeah, he did. He never won nothing with the Celtics. That bum. Los Marlins. They beat the Royals 9-6 last night. Game 2 of 3 tonight, 6:40 p.m., they're 5 games above 500. I apologize to the entire
everybody settle down.
Marlins fandom that I upset in the last hour for saying they're
settle
just
down,
3
everybody.
Games above 500.
Settle down.
8-2 in their last 10. They're 33-28 overall.
All right.
Tomorrow, Inter Miami, they play in the U.S. Open Cup quarterfinal versus Birmingham Legion FC.
All right.
And then I mentioned Dolphins mandatory minicamp started today. Connor Williams was not a participant. Coach McDaniel said it was not an excuse absence, but they've been in communication. And Zach Sealer, who's also on the last year of his deal, he was in attendance. Christian Wilkins as well in attendance.
All right, very good.
And then the big news of the day, PGA Tour and the European Tour announced a partnership to unify with LIV Golf.
So LIV Golf, a thorn in the side of the PGA Tour, now is partners with the PGA Tour. I gave you my take at 2 o'clock, and I'll get into it later if you want, because there's so many tentacles to it. Like I said, there's geopolitical ramifications to it. There's just the appearance of the PGA Tour of selling out to a tour that wasn't just a competitor, a tour that they painted as kind of an affront to morality. And so that was their take, and PGA Tour players shouldn't sign with LIV if for nothing else than morals. And now all of a sudden they're in bed with them. Scott Van Pelt, I read you the tweet earlier. Scott Van Pelt tweeted out, "So you preach loyalty to a tour and convince guys not to take 8- and 9-figure deals based in part on that loyalty and in part on the source of the money. Then those guys find out on Twitter, you took the very same money." Nino Brown, New Jack City, I don't know if you saw it. Always business, never personal.
And Rory McIlroy must be going through it today, man.
I mean, all these guys that caped up for the PGA Tour, and they did it, you know, again, under the auspices of, well, how could you take Saudi money? That, again, that was the rallying cry. It wasn't just that we're a superior tour, and then all of a sudden they're in bed with the government, if you will, that, you know, they were deriding publicly. But, you know, listen, as you get old, I said this in the 2 o'clock hour, you get older, you become more cynical about these things. You realize how the world works. People love to say things. Hey, I mean, do it with coaching. Do it with college athletics. Coaches preaching loyalty in the days now of the transfer portal and then leaving for more money. Coaches sitting there, you know, in a recruit's living room preaching this organization, it's me. I'm going to take care of your son. And then they commit there, and then they go somewhere else.
It's what people got on Deion Sanders for, right? Like Crowder talked a lot about it because he was heavily involved with it with the pivot. But Deion Sanders was this big proponent on HBCUs and sticking it out with the programs. Mm-hmm. And he said a lot of things. And then the second Colorado came with a big bankroll, he said deuces. And
by the way, we all do it. And that's the part where I say, as you get older, you know, I become more cynical. I don't tell people anymore, well, hey, you should be guided by your morality in this situation. Because you know what happens? You tell people to be guided by your morality. And then when you have the option to make serious money or incredible life improvements that might chip away at your own morality, you can come up with every reason why, actually, in this situation, it's okay. And so, listen, you got another example of it today with the PGA Tour and LIV Golf. It is what it is. That's the way the world works. So, you know.
Phil Mickelson taking his victory lap on Twitter today. Said he's having a great day with a nice smiley emoji.
I bet.
Finally, Hawk, a poll on road trips found that the top road trip snacks are as followed. Would you like to guess what the number one, according to these?
So this is what? You get in your car, you're going to go a few hundred miles, you stop at the convenience store, and this is what you get?
There was a poll on road tripping in general, and then they pulled specifically on road trip snacks, and yes, pull over, preparing to go on a long road trip. What are the snacks that you are bringing in the car with you?
All right. I am going to say combos, number one.
Not even close.
Really?
Even though chips.
Oh, see. Okay, so it's that general, generic. Just chips?
Yeah. Are combos right. Chips, though, or are they more cookies?
Salty snacks. I don't know. What'd you call them?
Cookies.
Cookies.
I mean, like, what would they be classified as? Salty cookies? Snacks.
When's the last time you've had a cookie with cheese in the middle? When's the last time you've had a pizza flavored cookie?
Right, but like,
you know what a combo is?
Of course, I'm not a big fan of combos. I'm not a big fan of combos, but I do know what a combo is.
The furthest thing from a cookie.
I wouldn't say that. You might as well call a combo ice cream.
What do you mean a cookie? How could it possibly be a cookie?
It's hard on the outside, has like some sort of filling on the inside, like an Oreo almost. It could be a cookie. It could be classified as a cookie.
No, it could not.
Chips, number one. Chocolate, number two.
This is way too general, chocolate.
Cookies or combos, number three. My personal favorite, nuts or seeds, number four. And then candy, number five. A little too general.
Yeah. All right, anything else?
Your weather from the Demesman and Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Call them 866-954-MORE. Again, it's been raining all day in South Florida, in parts of Miami. Can't even drive your car right now because of the flooding. And I know across South Florida, there is rain. So be safe. That's your weather.
All right, Zach Gelb from CBS Sports Radio, our buddy, is going to join us in the next segment.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
The wickedly talented one and only Adele Dazeem.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
All right, Zach Gelb is going to join us here. By the way, we have not given away the Duran Duran tickets yet today. Do you think, before we bring him on, Solana, that Zach Gelb is a Duran Duran fan?
Ooh. That's a good question. I would say he probably knows a couple of their songs, but he's not like a big Duran Duran fan.
All right. Well, on the Toyota of Hollywood hotline, where you could shop hundreds of Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan, is Zach Gelb. He hosts evenings nationally on the CBS Sports Radio Network. He is a huge fan of pesto. We don't know about Duran Duran. We will find out right now. What do you prefer, Duran Duran or pesto?
Oh, you got to go pesto, Hawk. Come on. It's all about the pesto.
Are you a Duran
pesto,
Duran?
Pesto, pesto, and more pesto. My music tastes are Bruce Springsteen. I love Jay-Z. I recently did go to a Dave Matthews concert at the Super Bowl, which I did enjoy. But Duran Duran, I'm not saying I'm not a fan, but I can't tell you I am a fan of Duran Duran.
No, listen, we're giving away tickets, and there are a lot of people who are because they're playing FLA Live Arena. It's not, and listen, for me, being a product of the 80s, like Duran Duran, this is a band that I want to see. But I know people may not be as big a fan. They're not as old as I am. I'm guessing, Solana, that you don't love Duran Duran.
I know Hungry Like a Wolf, and to be honest, I think that's where it stops. Like, I don't know too many Duran Duran songs.
Rio, and it's Hungry Like the Wolf, not just a wolf. Mm. You know, Tony Roma's was the place for ribs. Bobby Rubino's was a place for ribs. Big difference if you're the
Hungry Like the Wolf. My apologies. Yeah. My apologies.
Do you think Solana,
I bet he'd know a dozen Duran Duran songs. I bet you both would.
Do you think Solana's actually fun, though? Like, if you won these tickets and you had to go with Solana to the concert, do you think that's a good time?
Fun. I think his idea of fun is different than my idea of fun. So I think he's fun, but I think it's a different definition of what fun is.
Listen, Gelb, last concert Hawk dragged me to, Duran Duran would have been a plus, all right? Would have been a huge step up from the last concert Hawk dragged me to. Who's the guy that sings Copacabana? What's his name again? I don't even remember his name.
I mean, you're embarrassing. Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. That's right.
I feel like that's something my mother and my father would like, not of Solana. Course. But
we took Solana's mom and dad too, and they loved it. I'm not joking. They loved it.
But if I had to rank your show in terms of people I would want to go to a concert with, Crowder would obviously be one.
Nope.
Hawk, you would be two. And then Solana would be three. Crowder's not one. I feel like he's
Crowder
a great time anywhere he goes.
He does not like live music. And in fact, when Beyonce came to town, he's made a point of this. So Beyonce comes to town. His wife wants to go. So he gets, you know, baller tickets. He's like in the eighth row. And he said he spent the entire concert on his phone playing apps. He never looked up. He goes, I've heard the songs before. What's the difference?
Wow. So that's a bad scouting report by yours truly then. I have to go back to my analytics department and figure out how we could be better next time I come on this show. If,
please
in fact, I do get invited back, because I'm a very petty person. And I do remember a time when a certain radio host on this show said, I only like one talk show host, one national host at CBS Sports Radio. And it wasn't me. It was Bill Ryder. And now I've been on this show three times in about a month. So
yeah,
I think you're starting to warm up to me, Hawk like the bird.
I did appreciate that. I did contact Bill Ryder today, and he was unavailable to come on the show. So you got the nod.
Your nose is growing, I think. I don't think you've ever texted Bill Ryder. I need to see the receipts.
Did the Nuggets performance in game two change your opinion? We know that you think the Nuggets will win the series. Have you reconsidered?
That game was drunk. I've really never seen anything like that, where at the end of the first quarter, I'm like, wow, the Heat played really well, but they should have been up by more than 3 points. And then when I did see the third quarter, I thought that game was over. So I got to give a lot of credit to Miami. I've said Miami's going to be a tough out, but I still think they're losing in six games is what I went with, and I'll continue to go with that.
Has it been an entertaining series? Because, you know, obviously we're local, so we have vested interests in the team. You do a national show, and there was a thought, you know, the Panthers and Golden Knights are not going to have much of an audience. They're non-traditional hockey markets, and I think that there is some interest. I think TNT has done that series a solid by putting on Matthew Tkachuk with the NBA on TNT guys and making him a little bit of a story. Vegas obviously always has a little bit of an allure. We were talking, you know, I don't know how much people love watching Nikola Jokic, as good as he is, and I don't know if Jimmy Butler, while his postseason has been phenomenal, I don't know if he's a national superstar. I'm just curious, the national response to the series, has it been entertaining?
I think there's a lot of lazy jackasses in the national media that will now all of a sudden want to go to ratings and what they think are going to be ratings heading into a series, when they may not be interested because they don't get to travel a certain place. And Miami is excluded from that, because Miami is a great place to go to. I like going to Denver because I have family out there. But I think there's been a lot of selfish people in the media. When I look at game two, game one was not all that entertaining. But when you look at game two, how are you not entertained with that game? If you weren't entertained with that game, you just don't like sports.
You saw Ramona Shelburne. She asked Spo. And I thought it was a fair question, and apparently they've squashed the beef. She mentioned on ESPN that Spo texted her after, apologized. He didn't mean to get snappy with her, but she basically asked him if they tried to turn Jokic into more of a scorer, and he called it ridiculous. It's the untrained eye that says something like that. And I guess I'm of the untrained eye, Gel, because I thought it was a fair question. Denver's 1-4 when he scores 39 or more in the playoffs this postseason. And they were 7-13 all year when he had 8 assists or fewer. So to me, it seems pretty simple. Let him go off and eliminate his playmaking abilities. So is this just like gamesmanship from Spo? Or do you think he really believes that it's an unfair way to analyze what they did? Because it seemed to have worked for Miami.
Well, I guess I have an untrained eye as well. And maybe that's why I wear glasses. Because I had Mike Breen on my show after game one. And I said to him, if I was the coach of Miami, if I was Spoelstra, and clearly I don't have Hall of Fame credentials, I would let Nikola Jokic be a scorer or try to be a scorer and then try to limit everybody else and go all out against the other four guys. Because I've been saying this all year, Nikola Jokic is the best player on Denver. But for them to win a championship, Jamal Murray is their MVP. They've done a good job on Jamal Murray so far. He's not had a great game in this series. Michael Porter Jr. did nothing in game two and outside of the first few minutes of game one. Aaron Gordon hasn't really done anything as well. What I think happened here was Spoelstra just thought that that was an easy way of saying it. It'd be taking away credit from Nikola Jokic. And that's why I think he kind of scoffed at the question, but it was totally a fair question and something that a lot of people have been saying. So maybe a lot of us have untrained eyes.
When we mentioned Spo, so Lana and I were having this conversation. So Spo, after game one, I think he's, you know, Bill Belichick. You give Bill Belichick 10 days to prepare. He plays on a Thursday night, the next game, not till a week from Sunday. You give him that long, he's going to come up with a way to beat you. And after game one, Spo had a couple and a half days. I said, he's going to come up with something. And he did. He inserts Kevin Love into the starting lineup. We talked about this yesterday when Crowder was here. They go with Duncan Robinson in the fourth quarter instead of Max Strus, who had given you good minutes, and Duncan Robinson's minutes were even better. Now Michael Malone, if this is a chess match, now Michael Malone has a couple days to come up with something. After the game, it didn't seem like he had any problem with his game plan. It seemed like he had a problem with the effort level of his team. So I wonder, what do you think he does for game three? Do you think there are any drastic changes, or his whole mantra is, nope, just up our effort, we'll be fine?
I think we sometimes, because we have so many days in between these games, we have too much analysis and we try to all have the most intelligent thing or the smartest thing in the world. It's very simple. You got to hit your shots. Jamal Murray hasn't hit his shots enough. Michael Porter Jr. hasn't hit his shots enough as well. Look at game one to game two for Miami. We could all talk about Kevin Love and the approach on Nikola Jokic. Miami hit their shots, whether it was Strus, Gabe Vincent, or even Duncan Robinson in the fourth quarter.
Duncan Robinson. That's what it comes down to. The first guy you should mention. He's not an or even. I mean, Duncan Robinson is Duncan Robinson. Don't do that. Not on this show. You will not.
And that was not disrespectful.
Disrespectful. Solana, didn't that sound
How is that disrespectful? Like
or even Duncan Robinson.
Man. I mean,
it sounded a little disrespectful to me.
You get thrown in this apartment right now, and now you're all annoyed and easily perturbed like this? Come on, Hawkman. I thought you had
a little tough skin.
That wasn't slander at all, please. Solana, all you Miami media guys, like you try to start things up.
You're looking at the leader of the Duncan Robinson army. In Mark Hawkman, I mean, this guy, when Spo had him seated 12th behind Udonis Haslem this year on the bench, Hawk was the only person that had the guts to come out and say, Duncan Robinson should be getting more minutes, and it happened to work out for Hawk because he's been playing really well in the postseason. I mean, we saluted our president, Duncan Robinson, yesterday.
Well, I'll salute him as well, but here's the thing. Hawk is just very lazy. That's what it is. It's because he looks at Duncan Robinson and goes, oh, that reminds me of myself, someone that doesn't look like they should be playing basketball. That's, and I'm sure when he goes, says hello to Dusty May in his bougie Boca Raton area of living, he starts hitting all these three-point shots in the local JCC.
Yeah, but who knew Duncan Robinson's got an inside game? I never had an inside game. You have to marvel, in all honesty, because you do the national show. And I know this has been a running storyline. You have to marvel at the Heat with guys like Duncan Robinson and Max Strus and Caleb Martin and these undrafted guys who are not just every now and then hitting a big shot, who are actually playing quality starter minutes in an NBA final, let alone the entire postseason. I mean, you have to marvel at that.
You know when you kind of realize it? When Gabe Vincent in the last series had that ankle injury and missed the game, and it was like, oh my God, they're missing 20 points. And I'm sitting there, I go, Gabe Vincent is a massive loss for the Miami Heat. And as I said that, I go, what am I smoking? Like, what am I drinking? I would have never thought I would say those words on a national radio show, but that's what makes this Miami Heat team so fun, is there's so many guys that you just look at and you go, you can't really expect much out of them. But then you watch them play, and night in and night out, they end up giving really productive minutes and end up keep on finding a way to grind out victories. And that's why this Miami team, I know people probably get sick of it because you hear the word gritty and things along that line, but that's what makes them so good, is you don't know who's going to show up night in and night out, but they consistently find a way to get enough guys to slay some of the better teams in the NBA.
You can hear Zach Gelb every evening nationally on CBS Sports Radio. Heat are 2.5-point underdogs at home tomorrow night. Does that sound about right to you?
Well, it's probably a sucker bet because I did take Miami plus 8.5. So thank you very much, Eric Spoelstra, Udonis Haslam, for doing whatever you do on the bench, Alonzo Mourning and Pat Riley. I thank you guys a lot for getting me that little winning for yours truly. Right after the game, I hammered, absolutely hammered Denver minus 2.5 because that is a low, low, low spread. And now a day later, I'm like looking at the cash out option and saying that's probably too good to be true. Denver at minus 2.5. So I feel like it's a sucker bet, but I'm not going to cash out. I'm going to ride with it.
There's not a scenario. Solana and I were talking about this earlier. There's not a scenario where the Heat are going to be favored in this series, right? Even if they come out tomorrow night and beat Denver and it's two wins in a row, the prevailing notion nationally is going to be, well, Denver will get it together. I mean, this happened in the Boston series.
Yeah.
Denver. This happened in the Milwaukee series. The Bucks, the Celtics, they'll get it together because they're a better team. And so I don't think there's a scenario where the Heat are favorites in this series.
Well, even going into game 7, I know momentum was totally shot. They were an 8.5-point dog or something along those lines. If they take a 2-1 lead, though, they, not that I would then say, oh, they're definitely going to win game 4, because this feels like it's going to be 2-2 one way or another going back to Denver for a game 5. But you would think logically, if they take the first 2 out of 3 games in the series, then they should be favorite in game 4. But you're probably right. They won't be a favorite in game 4 regardless.
Hey, real quick, because we're going to be up against a break. So, and this is not something that you can actually give a quick take on because, as I've said all day, there's so many tentacles.
Yeah.
What do you make of the PGA Tour, LIV Golf Tour merger announcement today?
Like a year ago, everyone was fired up. And then when the majors, the first two majors came around this year, it was like, who really cares? Because LIV Golf has been out of sight, out of mind, because it wasn't really doing any TV ratings or really making any national news outside of when these guys show up to the major championships. My quick take on this is Jay Monahan is just an absolute fraud. He is the ultimate do what I say, not as I do type of guy. How you talk about 9/11, which is, you know, I live 2 blocks from where the Twin Towers were. So that's very sensitive growing up as a New Yorker. You use that to benefit your argument. But the minute when you get the money, you take it and run. I've talked to a bunch of people in the golf world today. The golfers are absolutely furious. And I don't blame them, because if I'm a PGA Tour golfer, I didn't take these enormous mega deals. And now I'm sitting here looking like the biggest moron in the world, where everyone's saying Phil Mickelson, Brooks Koepka, Dustin Johnson and company are now big winners.
Yeah, it's so hypocritical. But I was telling Solana earlier, as I get older, I become more cynical about this stuff because I see it over and over again,
yeah.
Which is,
it's all about the money.
Here's the morality of it. And then all of a sudden, the benefit is for me. Oh, well, let me tell you about the morality of it. And because that's what Monahan's going to do, right? He's going to give you this big, long word salad about why this was necessary for the sport. But in the meantime, he really just comes across as a hypocritical clown.
And it's better to get everyone together, especially for casual golf fans. But here's what I'll say about Jay Monahan. I think this will encapsulate just how much of a fraud that he is. If he was in New York City today and asked me to go to Katz's Deli with him, I would not eat the meal with him with how much I love Katz's Deli. That's
how
much
I
think Jay Monahan is just an absolute scum.
That's how you know that he's got a strong take there.
Yeah.
But again, that's the morality of it. Zach Gelb is going to stand on his morality there. But then Monahan's going to say, in addition to Katz's Deli, I'm going to give you a check for $15,000. And guess what?
And then I'm going to take the money and absolutely run with it.
Jay, that's what I'm saying. As I become,
you want
older,
me to get the mustard on your pastrami?
That's exactly right. So we're all guilty of it. We just got to find our price. Zach Gelb, you'll hear him tonight, CBS Sports Radio. Always enjoy talking to you. See you, Gelby.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Shout out to all the pair.
Hawk and Crowder.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.